Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Barry Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Tuesday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap Today country. And I'm Gary Dahl, along with Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, and we are delighted to have you with us today. We also have a special guest with us today. His name is Mr. Pete McMillan, and he has had, in years gone by, a very close working relationship with President George W. Bush, and we're going to be talking with him about some of his activities and relationships there. And I think this will be very, very interesting to all of us. So we would encourage you to stay tuned to that. Pete will be with us as we go into the second segment of the program today. But we are delighted to have each and every one of you with us. And, you know, it just seems as though there is a trend today where policemen are being shot. And many of them are being shot by people who are black, the African-American race. And we've just heard today that Bishop E.W. Jackson, who, of course, is himself a black minister, is, and of course, I might say he's the president and the founder of STAND. That's a group called Staying True to America's National Destiny. Bishop Jackson is convening black leaders and ministers on this coming Friday at 11 o'clock in front of the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial in Washington, D.C., for a press conference in which he's going to be calling for support of the police in the black community. And this is what Bishop Jackson says, and I quote, "It is time for black ministers to stand with the police in our communities and encourage our people to do so. The law enforcement officers charged with protecting us are being targeted by the same thugs who terrorize and murder other black people. Since the death of Freddie Gray, there have been 25 murders in Baltimore. Those victims were not killed by police, but by the criminals who prey on all of us." And, of course, the action by Bishop Jackson comes on the heels of the murder of two police officers in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, last Saturday night. And, of course, the day before that, New York police officer Brian Moore was laid to rest after having been fatally shot the previous week. And as we all know, in both cases, the alleged assailants were black. Bishop Jackson went on to say, and I quote, "The police are not out hunting down black men, but black criminals seem to have declared war on the police. The police are the last line of defense to keep the inner city from descending into chaos. If they are demoralized, poor black people will suffer most because they are most likely to be victimized by crime. Pastors and churches have to stand up for truth. We must stand with the police for the security and the safety of the community." Now, Sam Rohr, that is quite a statement. I know you know Bishop Jackson. I've had the opportunity of meeting him on a couple of occasions. He's a bold man, and I appreciate those words that he's bringing forth and what he's trying to do to support the police across the nation, Sam.
Well, Gary, I do too. And, you know, this is exactly what is needed. I mean, obviously, the American Pastors Network tries to bear down on the sacredness and the importance of the role of the pastor in the pulpit. And because we know across society, the preaching of the truth, the teaching of self-discipline according to God's word, all of these things are essential for a free society. And what Brother E.W. Jackson is saying is that in these black communities, by and large, he is saying what is there, but it's difficult for many people sometimes to address it in that fashion. If we're not happening to be African American, but we stand together for the rule of law, for moral, biblically based decisions, and I commend him highly, and I believe that that's exactly what is needed. So we want to give every kind of support we can to Brother E.W. Jackson and other black pastors across the country who are recognizing their duty before God, but also the fact that they may be just the only ones possible to bridge this developing gulf between the law-abiding and the lawless.
You know, I don't know Dave Kistler, but I honestly have to say that I think that if men like Jesse Jackson and
Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton, yes, Al Sharpton, and some of these guys would be a little bit more quiet on some of these issues, we wouldn't have this kind of a thing taking place in America today. I really think particularly Al Sharpton sort of stimulates and motivates some of this hatred that the African-American have toward the white. Would you agree with that?
Well, Gary, I'm going to say this. Would you get out of my mind? You are walking up and down in the halls of my mind because I was thinking exactly the same thing. These guys that you just mentioned, whether it's Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, they don't speak for the black community at all. Someone like Bishop Jackson does speak for the vast majority of the ministers within the African American community, because they understand that lawlessness will reign in the streets of Baltimore or any other city, specifically and especially in the African American communities, if this trend that we are watching continues. And Gary, if I could quickly say this, one thing you referenced right out of the chute is the lack of discipline in our culture. And you know, Gary, every couple of years I'm at a Christian drug and alcohol rehab facility, not for treatment, but for
I've been praying for you about that, Brother Dave.
I am there actually to minister, and the director of that says to the Hispanics that are there, the blacks, the whites that are there, and it runs the gamut. He said, the reason you men are here is because up to this point, you have lived a very undisciplined life. And the Christian life is a life of discipline, self-discipline. Sam referenced the fact that that is the nature of government. Self-government is controlling our passions. And so we are where we are, Gary, because of the undisciplined nature of the world in which we're living in. And this encouragement to fight against the police goes well beyond lack of discipline. This is just rank lawlessness. And so what Bishop Jackson has done is to be commended, to be supported, to be praised. He is a leader in that community, and I am so thankful for him.
Sam, I want to ask you, is there a legitimate race problem in America today, or is this thing just being stirred up by the likes of the Al Sharptons and the Jesse Jacksons?
Well, Gary, in reality, I think there does remain. There are always some people who think that they're better than others. I mean, I think there's some whites who think they're better than anybody else. I think there's some Hispanics who think they're better than anybody else. There's some blacks who think they're better. I think this is the nature of man, which has to be self-controlled according to truth. And, of course, we all know that that really quality is at the foot of the cross when a person is saved. That's when we all stand there equal. There is no difference. And when that mentality, as talked by pastors from the pulpit, E.W. Jackson, then the things are there. But other than that, Gary, most of it is manufactured, I would have to say. It's manufactured.
Well, I would agree 100% with everything you said there, Brother Sam. Ladies and gentlemen, we're up against a hard break, but when we come back, we'll be having Mr. Pete McMillan with us, who worked with President George Bush, and he's got quite a few good stories for us to hear, and so we encourage you not to go too far away. In fact, don't go away at all. Stay there by the radio, and we'll be back. On behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. This is Stand in the Gap today on this Tuesday. Stay tuned for some more good information.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute in Harrisburg, I'm Brandon McGinley. Earlier this week, I participated in a meeting with leading human trafficking activists from across Pennsylvania. We were discussing the role of strip clubs and other adult businesses in sex trafficking, that is, modern-day slavery, in Pennsylvania. Many of the women and minors who are employed by these businesses are subject to coercion, sexual violence, and ultimately, trafficking. It's a serious problem that requires serious work. We are working on House Bill 262, which would impose new common-sense regulations on these businesses, such as ensuring sex offenders can't own or work in them. Call your legislators and ask them what they are doing to help trafficking victims in our state, and ask them to support House Bill 262. For more information about this and other important issues, visit us at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. Sign up for free email alerts at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Lieutenant General William Boykin will speak at Coventry Christian School, Pottstown, PA, on Friday, May 15th at 7 p.m. in the Coventry Christian School Chapel. General Boykin served as U.S. Deputy Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence from 2002 to 2007 and also spent 13 years in Delta Force, 2 years as its commander. You are invited to hear this American hero speak about God's kingdom in a world that is battling the evils of the day. Come hear how we can be soldiers of Christ, no matter where our battlefield is located. The cost is $25 per person. All are welcome, but seating is limited, so please reserve your spot today to hear General William Boykin at Coventry Christian School on Friday, May 15th, 7 p.m., by calling 610-587-9917. That's 610-587-9917, 610-587-9917.
Hi, this is Nancy Becker, the Recorder of Deeds in Montgomery County. I'd like to read a quote from Mark Twain. In the beginning of a change, the patriot is a scarce man and brave and hated and scorned. When his cause succeeds, the timid join him, and then it costs nothing to be a patriot.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Without God, liberty will not last. A quote from Thomas Jefferson. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I'm Gary Dahl. And from time to time, we have people on the program who have, they themselves have quite the experience with people that we would like to experience more ourselves, if that makes any sense. And we have a fellow with us today that I think has a very interesting story to tell. And David Kistler, would you introduce Pete McMillan to our audience, please?
Well, Gary, I would be delighted to do so. Pete is originally from Indiana, and after graduating from infantry school, he was stationed in Washington, D.C., and ultimately ended up being stationed at Camp David, where he served as a police officer, lifeguard, and assisted in the training of non-commissioned officers, as well as assisting, and this is very, very interesting to me, in the workouts of several presidents. Pete was a member of the Bravo Company, and in March of 2003, his unit was one of the first to cross over into Iraq as major combat operations began there. Pete's military experience goes well beyond that. It's vast and quite extensive, but he's the recipient of the Presidential Support Badge, the Navy Marine Corps Achievement Medals, the Presidential Unit Citation, and the Joint Meritorious Unit Citation, as well as other awards. Pete McMillan, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. It's a delight to have you aboard.
It's wonderful being here, Dave. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Well, my friend, we're glad to have you aboard. Let me ask you a couple of questions. You were talking to me earlier this week. Of course, Pete, you're a member of Lighthouse Baptist Church, which is where I'm privileged to minister this week. And we were conversing, and you were sharing with me that when you went to Camp David, you actually worked alongside President George W. Bush and helped him with some of his workouts. I'd love for you to share just a little bit. I know maybe there's some things you can't talk about the workout routine, but talk to us a little bit about President Bush and your opportunity to work out alongside him there in the gym at Camp David.
Well, sure. It was great being able to work with him that closely and really see him in a way that most people didn't get a chance to see him. I know one time he wanted to go for a swim, and the pool cover had filled up with water from the rain that had just happened. And we were able to get some things set up for him. The Navy was trying to get the water off the pool cover while the president was there digging around in the box of toys that we had for the staff kids when they would come up there to swim. And he got out a little mask and snorkel and started to get that on, and he put the mask on, put the snorkel in his mouth, and he took it out and he asked me, "Hey, has this been sanitized?" Well, I told him, "Well, you know, it's been in the pool water, so I'm sure it has been sanitized, Mr. President." And he asked me to just make sure, so I was able to get that done. And then once I was done with that, I noticed that the Navy staff members there were still having a tough time getting the water off there. So I happened to be in my lifeguard uniform as well. So I just dove right in and got up under that cover and was able to push up to get some of that water off there. Every time I'd come up for air, President Bush would say, "Hey, Corporal Mac, put your head over there. Corporal Mac, put your head over there now." And, you know, as a corporal in the Marine Corps, when the President of the United States gives you an order, you don't take time to breathe. So you just keep on moving.
You know, Pete, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but Pete, one of the things you were sharing with me is the fact that the President went out of his way. He just seemed to be gifted with an ability to remember the names of the people that worked with him and for him. And I know you told me a few things about that. You also mentioned there was a very interesting incident where someone came up to the president. You were there within earshot. You heard what the president had to say. And they said, "Mr. President, we want you to know that our church, the members of our congregation, significant number of believers are praying for you. Would you mind sharing the president's response? Set up that situation a little bit, if you would, and then give what President Bush said to that individual."
Well, sure. Actually, I had started talking to him. I brought that up while he was stretching after his workout that day. And I told him, "Mr. President, the folks from my church wanted me to let you know that they're praying for you." He stopped completely what he was doing. He looked at me and he said, "Listen, I have a message for you that I want you to take back to your church from the President of the United States. Tell them that I need all the prayers that I can get, and I appreciate the prayers that they give." And I've just never forgotten that opportunity, and you know, his humility and understanding that that he needs the power of the Lord in order to do his job.
Wow, Gary, I'm going to let you and Sam ask a few questions.
Well, one of the things that came to my mind, Dave, is I heard you say that Pete, did you work with other presidents as well?
I did. I was there also during the end of the Clinton administration, and I met President George H.W. Bush when he had come up for a visit while his son was in office.
How would you compare working with President Bush and working with Bill Clinton?
There's no comparison. I remember President Bush's first visit to Camp David. He flew in on the helicopter, and we were just all floored because he was on time. We had not been used to the president arriving on time from the former administration. It was always late, or, you know, he'd say he was coming and he would never come. So then when President Bush shows up, he shows up on time, he gets off the helicopter, makes a beeline over to some of the people who had gathered to see him arrive. He went over, he shook every single hand, he held every single baby, and told them, now there's absolutely no cameras around, there's no press, but he went and talked to each one of these people, telling them how excited he was to be there and that he enjoyed meeting them.
And
that just said... That set the tone for the rest of the time while I was there.
These are the kind of things I've heard from President Bush, that he was genuine, that he was true. He really had a feeling for the people that he served. And, Sam, you know, of course, I know that you've been involved with the government down through the years, and I'm sure that you were that way when you were in the Pennsylvania State House. But, you know, we can be thankful for presidents who seem to be real and genuinely concerned about their people and their constituents and those who, well, not only those who put them into office, but even those who haven't put them into office. And some of them even hated George Bush. I remember, I think it was Dana Perino said, Sam, that one day he was just being yelled at by one of the ladies. I guess her son had been killed in the war, was wounded or something. And when they got in the helicopter and flew away, he was looking out the window of the helicopter, and he said, that lady, that mother, was very, very angry at me, or with me, and with tears coming down his face, he said, and she should be. Sam, that's quite a depiction of a president, is it not?
Well, it certainly is, and I think that the one thing that Pete just talked about, you know, what a person does when the camera is not on them, as that's just, you know, what you described, Pete, tells an awful lot about the person. So many times the political side is they smile when the camera's on them and they're scowling and angry when the camera's not. You know, that kind of thing. And, or like you say, showing up on time. That's a big deal. I was interested you noted that, but I'm telling you that it's for so many. There's not even any respect of somebody else's time, which obviously the president did. And Pete, I want to ask you a question here. I mean, you may never have seen this. I don't know. But if you did, I'd be very, very curious about it. But, you know, we look back in time and we have certain presidents who prayed. I mean, we have a picture of George Washington beside his horse praying, and many of us do. And Abraham Lincoln, we know he prayed, and others. Did you ever see President Bush pray, or do you have any reason to believe that he was a praying man?
I haven't had the opportunity to personally see him pray. I do know that every single time he was at Camp David over the weekend, he would always make it a point to go to church. And you know, we have had the beautiful chapel there on Camp David that he always attended, and our chaplain would provide the services there for him. And he made it a point, no matter what his schedule was, he made it a point to go to church and to be right there under the preaching of the Word of God.
Was that also a difference between the other president?
It was. I don't know of the other president, maybe once or twice attending a chapel service while he was there, but very seldom would he do that.
Pete, let me ask you. I'm sorry, Pete, I didn't mean to interrupt, but let me ask you this. If you could share, I know we're getting close to a break, and we may have to do it after the break, but there was something you shared with me about the discipline, the exercise regimen of President Bush, and how he had to have a special team to guard him because...
Well, I don't know what happened to Dave Kistler. He was in the process of talking about the president to Pete McMillan. But nevertheless, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today, and we will be back with more right after this, talking with Pete McMillan, who worked along with President George Bush up at Camp David. So don't go away. We will be back with more right after this. This is Stand in the Gap today for your Tuesday.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. It's nighttime in Nepal, making it harder to find anyone trapped in the rubble of today's earthquake. Tom Newby's with the international aid agency CARE on everyone left homeless.
If everyone stays in the streets for a long time, it's going to be very concerning because the rains are coming soon, and already it's raining several days so far that we've had heavy rain. So getting people under cover is extremely urgent.
The Nepalese government's confirming 37 deaths today. A quake last month killed more than 8,000. No charges filed, at least yet, against a man who says he fired a shot at George Zimmerman in self-defense in Lake Mary, Florida.
He's driving an Infiniti. He said it was George Zimmerman.
That 911 call on behalf of Matthew Apperson. He was involved in a road rage incident with Zimmerman a few months ago. 2 years ago, Zimmerman was acquitted of murdering Trayvon Martin while on neighborhood watch. He was hurt by broken glass in this shooting. Fox News, we report. You decide.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
Hey everybody, Stephen Curtis Chapman here. Very excited. I'm going to be coming on May 16th to Souderton, Pennsylvania for the Plumstead Christian School's 5th Annual Founders Forum at Calvary Church. And my wife, Mary Beth, is going to be with me. I'm very excited because it's not that often that she gets to join me for these kinds of events. But she is going to be with me, my bride of 30 years, Mary Beth Chapman, sharing some of her story and some of our journey together. She's written about it beautifully and honestly in a book called Choosing to See. And obviously, I'll be singing some songs and sharing some of my stories as well. So we hope you'll come and join us May 16th at Calvary Church in Souderton. God bless you. We'll see you soon.
For tickets, go to PlumsteadChristian.org.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And before we went into the break, why, Dave Kistler was talking to Pete McMillan, and I thought maybe the rapture happened. Dave, did the Lord send you back?
Well, Gary, I am back. Technology, grand thing when it works, but sometimes frustrating when it doesn't. But yeah, I am back. And I just wanted Pete to share a little bit. I found this to be very, very interesting. Of course, those that know anything about George W. Bush since he left the White House, they know he conducts this warrior bike ride down in Texas, down around his Crawford Ranch. They know he has been an exercise buff most of his life. He is a very fit man, even at approaching, I think it is 68 years of age. And Pete, you were sharing with me how a special detail had to be selected for the president when he would go out for his runs. Share a little bit about that. I think our listening audience would find that beyond intriguing.
Yes. When he first came into office,
He would always, and, you know, throughout his time in office, fitness was very important to him. So he'd go out for a run, and he'd run 3 miles in about 20 minutes, which is very, very quick. And the previous personal protection team that he had a difficult time keeping up with him. So they had to go out and they had to find a different team that was able to run as fast as he was and to be able to stay in front of him there. And I personally was able to watch him. I was actually the one spotting for him. I loaded up 265 pounds on the barbell, and he bench pressed that 6 times right in front of me. And just an amazingly physically fit person. For his position there.
You know, Sam, it goes to the very heart of what we were talking about earlier, and that is the president, George W. Bush specifically, we're talking about, believed that if he were going to expect something from those that worked for him, if he were going to expect something from the troops that he sent into harm's way that he loved so dearly, that he ought to live by the same set of principles. If they had to be in shape, it was important for him to be in shape. Sam, I'd love for you to comment on this, because this is so distinctly different than the president that preceded George W. Bush. We're talking about Bill Clinton, who lived a very undisciplined life. And to be quite honest with you, Sam, it's quite different than what we are all hearing is the nature of the situation in the White House now, where our current president is a smoker. He feigns this disciplined life, but in all actuality, behind closed doors, he lives a very different kind of life. I'd love for you to comment on that, if you would.
Well, Dave, I think that you are right. You know, leaders always, if you look back through time, the greatest leaders, and I'm going to go right directly to Jesus Christ, the greatest leader of all never demanded, but he led by servant leadership, and it develops a deep respect. You know, it seemed that when you looked at when the president, former President Bush, would speak and address the military, when he would preside or be at funerals or would step on deck of an aircraft carrier, there was a very clear level of deep trust, it appeared. But that seems to be tremendously lacking today. So Pete, you may come back and talk a little bit about this, being someone that's there, but I mean, clearly someone's in position of authority can demand obedience, but that's different than earning respect, is it not, Pete?
Hey, you're absolutely right. And when my unit was awarded the president unit citation, for me, having known President Bush on a different level than what most people had the opportunity to, that just means it meant that much more to me, because I knew this was a president who had our backs, who didn't ask anything of us that he wasn't going to expect of himself. And, you know, also his level of humility and respect for the institutions of the United States.
So you were able to detect that just by spending time with him. Did you have any personal, intimate conversations with him, Pete?
I had some short conversations with him. The time that I went to the Oval Office to have my photo taken with the president before I left Camp David, I remember walking into that room, and there was 100-plus other military members that were there waiting for their photos as well. And I'm walking across the Oval Office, and he goes, "Hey, there's my gym buddy. How are you doing?" And he told me that he was going to miss me, asked me where I was going to be going, what kind of work I was going to be doing. And just he spent that time and made me feel like I was the only person in the room, mm-hmm. that it was just he and I talking and that we were good buddies. And he was hoping to see me again sometime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Gary, that goes right to the heart of what we have heard Dana Perino, you know, with her new book. And the good news is, you know, she did this special over the weekend where she talked about her interactions with President George W. Bush. This strikes just similar. It is exactly what she described the president to be like. And, man, if I could just say this, I firmly believe as more of these kind of stories come out, I believe George W. Bush is going to be remembered far differently than the way he is portrayed in the media right now. Pete, this really, Sam, Gary, this is the essence of what I'm going to call greatness. Now, we can have disagreements about the money he spent, some of the decisions he made, and all of those kind of things. But on a personal level, this really is the essence of a man who genuinely cares about people and carries not his own interests on his heart, but carries the interests of the American people and those that work for him.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And Pete, I'm just wondering, you know, George's brother, Jeb, probably will be announcing that he's going to be running for the presidency one of these days. Have you or did you ever have the opportunity of meeting him while you were at Camp David or associated with the president?
Yes, I did. He came up and worked out in the gym one day when he was visiting, when the whole Bush family was there. It was interesting listening to the conversation between Jeb and his dad there in the gym while they were watching Divorce Court. And it was quite a fascinating conversation. I found Jeb to be a lot less outgoing than his brother was. He seemed to be a little bit more quiet and reserved than his brother.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting that we've had this discussion today, and Pete, I'm very, very thankful for the privilege that we've had to have you on the program. And, you know, we are in that time of the season when, of course, there are numerous people right now running for the office of the presidency of the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, here at the American Pastors Network, we are going to do everything that we possibly can to keep you informed on the issues as it relates to the presidency. But, Sam, I'm just wondering, before we go into the break, since we've been talking about George Bush and so forth, why don't you just briefly share with our listeners here this afternoon what kind of qualities we should be looking for in the presidency or in the president of the United States of America?
Well, Gary, you know, let me just start with a couple of different things. One, I'm going to start with what William Penn laid out here in Pennsylvania's frame of government. I refer to it often because he probably did the most to lay the foundation down for what's required for a republic to exist and for self-government, what he called a holy experiment, to survive. One of them was you got to have a fear of God. There has to be an understanding of someone that there is God, the God of the Bible, and that he is above all, and he will sit one day as the judge of every person's actions. And our founders reflected that. Number one. That number two, there has to be an understanding that the nature of man is basically evil, not good. And that and the purpose of law, therefore, is to help restrain the evil actions of man. If a person believes that everybody is good and everybody is just going to naturally do the right thing, they're not going to have the proper role in government because they don't understand the purpose of government. So that's part of it. Understand fear of God. They have to understand the fear of the nature of man. They have to know the purpose of law. Why is law given? And then fourthly, what's the purpose of government? Is government to rule all of everybody's life? Is it to be a dictatorship? And they have to know the difference between a republic and a democracy. They have to know the difference between a totalitarian regime and self-government freedom. They have to understand the dependence on prayer. They can't do it themselves. Now, Gary, these are just a few of the items that are there, but, you know, these are the kind of things I have yet to hear any commentary of the regular news forum commenting on a person's, any of these candidates so far, their relationship or thought vis-a-vis any one of these items I have just laid out, yet they are critically important in helping to determine who the man or the woman is and whether they have character and integrity, kind of like what Pete was talking about with the president, how he acts in private.
Well, it's important that we have the right man with the right qualifications in office, and ladies and gentlemen, we need to be praying for that. Pete McMillan, I want to thank you for being with us today on Stand in the Gap today. God bless you, sir. And
well, thank you very much. It was my privilege.
Well, it was a joy to have you, and thanks for some of the insight we've heard today from you about George W. Bush. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be back with more right after this. We're going to talk about another candidate for the president and who has endorsed her. We'll be right back.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country's the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
So, thank you for coming to my town hall today on how wonderful Common Core is and how much money we got from the federal government for giving up control of education. Any questions?
So, Representative, we have adopted new National Common Core standards, but they are not higher than our existing standards, and they were never really tested.
Well, yes.
And now we have to retrain all our teachers again and make them teach from a script so they can teach to national tests?
Well, yes.
And buy lots of new computers and equipment and copyrighted lessons from the same people who are promoting Common Core?
Well, yes.
And we're going to share all our private, family, medical, disciplinary, and test results with people nationwide. Why are you supporting it?
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
When nations become proud and forsake God, their rulers will cease to rule in the fear of God and instead rule with oppression and self-serving interest. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. The Bible is clear that there are undeniable marks of unrighteous leaders. Isaiah chapter 1:23 says they're rebellious because they act as if they're God. They're companions to thieves because they use their positions to steal wealth and dignity from their citizens, either for themselves or to redistribute to their friends. And because they love to take gifts and bribes, they distort justice and refuse to protect the innocent or fairly apply the law to the poor or those of lower standing. So consumed with themselves, personal power, and greed, they turn their back on God, to whom they'll give an account someday, and instead give favored treatment to those with money and influence, rejecting the needs of the widow and the orphan. And God says He'll judge the nation where the leaders do these things. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, asking you to think about this the next time you cast your vote.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The Resource Library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network. And, Sam, I've often heard it said that you can tell who and what a person is by who their friends are. And who, of course, will walk along with them. And talking about Hillary Clinton as being one who would like to sit in the Oval Office again, or at least live in the White House again. I don't know how much time she spent in the Oval Office when her husband was president. We know other women did. I'm not sure how much time she did. But, she would like to be president. I tell you the truth, brother. I just can't see her being elected. I just can't see her being elected. But having said that, we just ran across this information that one of her number one supporters, and somebody, I should say, who has come out to endorse her, is a fellow by the name of Larry Flynt. Now, we all know who Larry Flynt is. He is a self-described smut peddler. And, of course, down through the years, he has often backed other Democrats. But he was telling Bloomberg Politics that, he is going to stand behind Hillary Clinton. And the reason why he is going to stand behind Hillary Clinton is because of the Supreme Court. He believes that the United States Supreme Court is absolutely too liberal. And he feels that if Hillary Clinton got in, that she would perhaps have the opportunity to select two or three individuals to be on the court. And Larry Flynt believes that Hillary would put somebody on that bench who was just a little bit more liberal, so that, in his words, there might be a balanced court. I don't know what you think about that, but to me that sounds pretty dangerous, in the sense that I would agree that Hillary would do everything she could to weaken the United States Supreme Court, and then we would be in greater trouble here in our nation.
Gary, I think the point you started out with is very good. Yeah, birds of a feather do flock together, and you are known by your friends as well as those who disagree with you. And because the president is of such a nature that it deals by its very nature with leading, in this case, the United States, the free world, and all of that brings with it, appointing certainly those to the Supreme Court who make a determination on many things that just like the marriage circumstance that's before the court right now, really determines the culture to a large extent, or at least it ensconces the basis of for which our culture moves to the right or the left or good or bad. And so I think it is significant, Gary, when he steps up, someone who very clearly, as you say, is a smut peddler, someone who is very, very clearly never on the side of virtue and honor and those things which are to be the mark of a leader. If he says, this is the woman that I want because I know what she will do, for anyone who happens yet to be on the fence, that ought to be the warning that they need.
Well, I think that there are a number of warnings out there. And that's why I say, in my wildest imagination, Dave, I cannot see that Hillary Clinton is going to get into the Oval Office as president. She has so many issues against her. And, of course, a federal judge just recently agreed to open her email lawsuit. And I think that if that happens, there is going to be a lot more dirt brought out on her. I just can't imagine her being in the office of the presidency, Dave.
Well, Gary, I can't imagine her being in there on a number of levels, but you're exactly right. This federal judge's decision to keep this case open, or to reopen this case relative to those missing emails, does not bode well for what's going to happen to Mrs. Clinton. And so, you know, here we have today a striking contrast. We've talked about a president who, when he left office, was very unpopular because of the wars in which we were involved at the time. And still the residue of those wars we're still dealing with today. But at the same time, we had a man in the White House who was a man of character, a man of discipline, a man, I believe, who at his very core was a person of integrity. I do believe President George W. Bush was a believer in Jesus Christ. However, in direct contrast to that, now we're talking about the possibility. And I hope that Gary, you're right. I do believe you're right. I have serious questions whether she'll get the nomination. But we're talking about the possibility of not only nominating, but possibly electing a woman who is probably the classic example of having no integrity, having no discipline, living by a different set of standards, thinking she and her husband are above the law. They don't have to comply with anything that we, the common people, have to comply with. Gary, it is the polar opposite of what Sam laid out earlier. That is God's expectation for leadership on any level.
Well, that's absolutely correct. Years ago, and I can't remember if it was 1995, I think it probably was 1994, 1995, when the Southern Baptist Convention was held down in Orlando. And Sam, I heard Charles Stanley refer to Hillary Clinton as Jezebel. What kind of a description is that for a president?
It's the kind of thing that you run from as fast as you possibly can, not run towards, because, you know, what that embodies is, I mean, the whole concept of Jezebel, anybody who understands it, is that it's a person who thought, in fact, as Dave said, was above the law, a law unto themselves, who despised God and any authority above themselves, recommended to her husband, who was a bad character too, Ahab, who wanted a piece of property next door, to go and steal it, use the power of government to steal it from this poor man who had this vineyard because he was selfish. They bent the laws. They made the laws. They stole from the people. They did all the kind of things that are the exact opposite of someone who is a righteous person in government, someone who is a selfless leader, a servant of the people. I mean, you don't have to look any further than her, really, honestly, gentlemen, to say these are the things you absolutely do not want. And if the people of the of these United States embrace her, we're done.
You can't even think of a word to describe.
No, I can't. I can't, Gary. I couldn't come up with something to describe the level of terribleness. Let's put it that way.
Dave, you're a man of words. You have a word?
Well, all I can say is this. I preached a message years ago by this title, I Got What I Wanted, But I Lost What I Had. Mm. And it's all the places in the scripture where Israel demanded certain things. And when God let them have what they wanted, they paid a severe price. If we get Hillary Clinton as our next president, we will get, and I'm speaking collectively, the we used as the collective United States. There are some in this country who would get what they would want, but they would lose disastrously something that we have that we dare not want to lose.
Another reason why, ladies and gentlemen, you want to continue to live, to listen, to Stand in the Gap today, because we'll do everything we can to present to you the good biblical qualities of those who are running for the presidency. Thank you for being with us today again, and until tomorrow, on behalf of Dave and Sam, I'm Gary Dahl saying, keep looking up. The best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.